Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly is back in the news again for all the wrong reasons. As you all know, Brandon Boykin, slot cornerback with the formerly with the Philadelphia Eagles, was traded the other day to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And when he was traded, he sent a text to a member of Comcast Media. I guess they were asking him about his time in Pittsburgh. And he said, and I quote, or I'm a paraphrase, that Chip Kelly has a problem relating to young men of our culture. So, you know, along with that statement, as well as the statements made by LaShawn Shady McCoy this past summer, Trey Thomas, who used to work for the Philadelphia Eagles on the coaching staff, said that there was a hint of racism within the organization. Of course, we remember Shady's comments. Race has reared its ugly head. Now, Brandon Boykin backpedaled a little bit on his statement. He said that he didn't think that Chip Kelly was a racist, but he said that he has a problem relating to players, to a younger generation of players. And he said players of our culture. He didn't, and you could use culture as in young people, or culture as in black and white. So again, race has kind of reared its ugly head. It's the elephant in the room. It's the thing that nobody wants to talk about, but damn it, we're going to talk about it. So I'll start right there with you, Fevo. What are your thoughts about the latest accusations made against Chip Kelly that he, quote unquote, can't relate with black players?
You know, I don't know what I honestly don't know what to make of it, because I do believe that there are some coaches that maybe don't know how to relate all the time. Maybe Chip Kelly is just one of those guys, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I just don't understand where you come from, but I think as a coach, and just as a person, you should be open-minded to try to, you know, understand where people are coming from. And sometimes we're just going to disagree, and sometimes I'm just not going to understand. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. But now I think it depends on what is actually being said and how it's being said, because we can speculate. And a lot of things, I know I can say some racial things and fun and joking, and, you know, certain people might perceive that the wrong way, but it depends on who I'm talking to. So I really don't know what to make of it, because I'm not there. And I think that a lot of times the media can take things and really twist it and turn it, or, you know, maybe some guys feel hurt in the organization because of XYZ. Now they're saying something, it might be taken out of context. I really don't know. And in all honesty, I don't care. As long as this guy is not segregating his players, as long as he's not out here on some Riley Cooper type of stuff, as long as that doesn't come out here, as long as he's not on some Sandusky type stuff like that, then to me it doesn't matter. All of the I don't know what to make of it, because we haven't had anything really concrete. We haven't had, like, oh my God, breaking, like Chip Kelly does this. Like, so I'm just kind of over it. I just think that is a lot of smoke. Where there is smoke, there is some fire. So I'm not all the way dismissing it, but I'm just ready to see the Eagles on the field, in all honesty.
Right. You made some great points. What about you, B? What's your take on it? Do you think that there's an issue here with Chip Kelly and black players?
Oh, man, I think people are just kind of reaching at this point. Ever since, what was that, when Stephen A was saying, like, you know, some of the black players felt, you know, alienated from Chip Kelly, it's just like, and I think ever since Stephen A made that comment, I forgot who he said that made that comment, but, you know, he letting all the brothers go, but he's bringing in the good guys, but he's still bringing in black players as well. And, you know, he's talking about, oh, well, he kept Riley Cooper. That's one of his guys. I think ever since then, since Stephen A brought that up, I think the media has just been reaching. I think it's all is just an awkward white dude that's just awkward around his place. He's probably just an awkward coach, an awkward type of dude like that. And like people say, he's just a guy that just can't relate to whatever, you know, your lifestyle or what you do. I mean, I don't think it, like people said, man, unless we get something super concrete, I really think the media is just really reaching for gold, and they just trying to find something. at this point, I'm sick of this conversation. I'm sick of the Brady, Deflategate conversation. I'm ready for a new NFL season. I'm ready to see this NFL season. I'm ready for fantasy football. I'm just ready for this new stuff. I'm sick of dwelling on like the past, and I just really think the media is reaching with this Chip Kelly stuff as of right now. I don't really care too much for it. Just like people again, I don't know what to really make of it because it's like I just want some new football. I want some football. I want a new NFL season.
Mm-hmm. You know what, man? I think, and I just tweeted, I think there's some validity to it because it's coming from players. But you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt to some degree because these are players that are no longer with the organization. Now, that being said, I don't expect any current Eagles to bash Chip Kelly because they want their jobs. So, you know, like I heard Mark Sanchez make a comment about, you know, well, you know, we got a Mexican quarterback and this guy's Colombian and we got black guys, we got white guys. You know, it's no big deal, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, it's not something that is necessarily being reflected to him or for him or at him. So he may not view it as such. I'll give you an example. Like Brandon Boykin also made a comment that I think a lot of people are missing. He said that, like, you could see Chip Kelly in the hallway, and he may not say anything to you. Now, keep in mind, a professional NFL player, they're at the facility all day long. So if I'm working with you and you're my coach, if I see you in the hall, I'm going to say, what's up, coach, or, you know, that type of thing, or we're going to have some type of rapport. We may crack a joke or something. I'm not saying that Shady McCoy or Brandon Boykin or anybody for that matter needs to be buddy-buddy and they need to go have drinks with Chip Kelly. I think part of the issue with that's going on here is that Chip Kelly – I think that there's some validity to the point. I don't know if it may not even have anything to do with race. I think what it is that he has a problem with these young men because he's used to being able to boss 18 and 19 year olds around and say, hey, if you don't get in line, I'll take your scholarship. Well, guess what? This is the NFL. And players get coaches fired in the NFL. So if Chip Kelly doesn't win, he's going to get fired, period, point blank. And I think, you know, is there some racial overtones? I will not say that Chip Kelly is a racist because I don't know Chip Kelly personally. I will say this much. I think that in a league where you have predominantly black players, if you're a white coach, a black coach, if you're an old coach, a young coach, you need to be able to relate to your players. If you can't relate to your players and have your players buy in to what it is that you're doing, I think that that's a problem. I don't know that – I mean, we look across the board, and I know you can't really compare football and basketball, but I think Greg Popovich probably relates to his players. I think Steve Kerr probably relates to his players. I think I don't know that Phil Jackson – Phil Jackson could connect with Michael. I don't know if he necessarily connected with Dennis Rodman, but I think at the end of the day, you got to have a coach. I think it's interesting that – in all the years that we've watched football, we've never seen players get cut and have something negative to say on a racial tone about another coach, about the coaches they're leaving. And I think that that's problematic for Chip Kelly. And I think he has to figure out what it is that he needs to change within himself, because obviously there's some type of culture there that the players feel this way. And if they don't feel that they can connect with you, you know, the minute that they're out the door, they may say something about it. So it's not a good look for him. It's not a good look for Philly. And what's going to happen is that with Philadelphia's fan base, and I'm sure Q will be on here shortly to talk about it, with Philadelphia's fan base, it's going to grow old really quick, especially if you can't win. You know, winning kind of masks some of that stuff, but when you don't win and Dallas is bashing your head in and you're not winning the division and not making the playoffs, it's going to be an issue. Ken, what's your take on it, man?
Well, to be honest, sometimes I'm uncomfortable around some people, my own people. so I can relate to Chip Kelly. You know, it is what it is, man. But I also know, love, and respect my people. I understand
right.
the culture that my people are a part of. Growing up, you know, sometimes I may not be directly, you know, a part of a situation, but I know somebody that is, so I'm an extension of that. but Chip Kelly isn't a part of that, nor does he care to be a part of that. And because of that, why would he want to keep people around that he feels uncomfortable around? This is a really, really, really difficult topic to discuss.
It is. It is.
Because he can't avoid black players because he needs them, you know, to play in the NFL because they're there. You need players that can play. But we're talking about 3 to 4 players who have said the same thing since their departure. And we're not talking about whack players. Yeah.
Right.
And there was something you said, Kyle, that made a lot of sense in the fact that you said that when you're there and you're a part of the organization, you're not really going to say much. But as soon as you let loose, you're gonna say how you feel. And I'm sure that all of us as working individuals have been part of organizations where you just want to say whatever you feel or how you feel personally, but you know that you, A, need a job and you have a family to take care of and you have bills and you have responsibilities. You're going to keep your mouth shut. But once they let you go, you have no responsibility to keep that in check anymore outside of being a professional and not wanting to cause any problems elsewhere. I think this situation is similar to that. I think that these guys, as long as they are a part of the organization, they're quiet because they want to go out there, they want to play, they want to win a job, and then all of a sudden you look up and then you're gone. And every single thing that you're encountering, that you're going through while you're there, that you're just kind of making notes of, you know, and then all of a sudden you're the guy gone, especially if you got like LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson, who they said had gang ties. You know,
I forgot about that, Ken.
This isn't right. I don't know. I don't think he's not a racist. I'll say that. I haven't seen evidence of it. I don't think this is evidence of it. I think it's the fact that there are certain players that he just don't want in his team. There are certain players that are just that, and look, they just may be too black for him. They just may be too black, and he can't tolerate that. But what keeps coming up over and over again is the situation that went down with Riley Cooper, and how he was kept on the team, and you know how they're letting these guys go, I felt a little bit uncomfortable with that whole situation because there were black players that supported Riley Cooper, and now, I'm not exactly sure if any of these guys, you know, were them, but they continue to play with them, and then that they're gone. So I can see how they could look at that and throw in every single other thing that they're going through on top of that, stir the pot a little bit, and then they got a problem. Because if I'm LeSean McCoy, I'm looking around like, why'd you let me go? If I'm DeSean Jackson, or now Borkins, I look up and I'm playing for another team. So what he said was that he just has a problem relating to grown men, certain grown men. And I'll be honest, like I said in my opening statement, sometimes I do too. But I'm not in the position where I can move those pieces, you know, as easy as Chip Kelly. And to what B was saying earlier is that you got to win. And what everybody's kind of saying that, you got to go on the field and you got to win. And what I'm here to say is that if stuff like this continues to happen and people continue to talk about it, at some point, man, you guys know how we are, man. We will stick together. And at some point, there will be a mutiny if we start to see that our fellow brothers are being mistreated. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world that's affecting men, you know, people of color. And if they start to see this happening, they could rebel. Some could rebel. And if you don't feel like you can trust your coach and one day you're here, the next day you're gone, and that's football in general, but if you feel like that's amplified because you got Chip Kelly here and because he can't relate to you, you may not go on the field and perform the way you would have with a more personable coach. You know, I think I would have a problem if I'm walking by my coach and he don't say anything to me in the hallway. You know, and then you expect me to go on the field You want me to go catch a football. You want me to run, but you're not going to say anything for me in the hallway? Oh, so what am I to you now?
Right.
Oh, you want me to go run on the field? You want me to go on the field, master? But when you see me, you can't even you can't even say hello.
And
come
let's,
on,
let's
man.
Just, we can,
there's
we can
something
just look
there.
At, yeah, exactly. We can even just look at some of the most recent quote unquote great coaches. I mean, from Mike Holmgren to Pete Carroll to Bill Belichick to even like a guy like Bill Parcells to Jimmy Johnson. I'm not saying that. I mean, Jimmy Johnson. I don't think Jimmy Johnson was the type that probably hung out with Michael Irvin. He didn't hang out with Michael Irvin, but he recruited Michael Irvin as a 17-year-old kid, so he knew about his background, and he made himself probably more available and accessible to Michael Irvin. I'm pretty sure Michael Irvin felt like he could call Jimmy Johnson at any given day and time. And I think the differences between that, and it kind of speaks towards the mentality of the player, I think those players would run through a brick wall for Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells' players, Bill Belichick's players, Jimmy Johnson's players, so forth and so on, would run through a brick wall for their coach. I don't see nobody run through a brick wall for Chip Kelly. And that's and I know I understand that the Chip Kelly experience, if you will, is only this is what his third or fourth year, so he's still got time per se. But like I said, whatever the gap, and I agree with you 100%, Ken, I have problems relating to some people. More importantly, I have problems relating to some young black men at times. That doesn't mean that Chip Kelly's a bad guy. I think at the end of the day, Chip Kelly has to figure out how to close the gap that is between he and his players. You can't say, okay, I'm going to take Riley Cooper back in. I mean, Riley Cooper went away for like 4 days and came back. He went to some type of sensitivity training and came back. One of the biggest supporters of Riley Cooper was Michael Vick. And Michael Vick felt like he got burned because he stuck his neck out for Riley Cooper publicly, and Riley Cooper did not reciprocate or didn't seem as appreciative as he should. And I think, you know, when you still have a guy like Riley Cooper on the team, and I'm not saying they should have cut him, but, I mean, it maybe players feel some kind of way about that kind of stuff. I don't know. I tell you this much, like I said, the Philly faithful and their fan base, they're not going to be happy if this doesn't turn into wins, because that's the thing that can kind of mask this stuff. But if Chip Kelly wants to succeed in the NFL, he's got to close that gap. He just has to, because if you can't relate to your players, you won't last in the NFL.
And you know what? Everybody's sitting out here talking about he brought in DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews. He's bringing in other black players, and he traded white players too. Shut up, because.
Yeah.
The thing is, you still need players. Him bringing in black players and him doing certain things with black players don't have anything really to do with this. You know, it's like saying that some of my best friends are black. That's how I equate those type of statements. And real talk, because think about this. Players are traded in the NFL. Players are released. Players are let go. But how often do we hear accusations like this from not just one, two, but multiple people? We're up to four now. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's something that we have to look at. But in Chip Kelly's defense, the guy has made some pretty odd moves since he's taken over. The guy traded Nick Foles for Sam Bradford. You know, so, you know, now if you throw that at me, look, you may have an argument, because that don't really make a lot of sense sometimes either. You know, but so he's made some moves that people kind of question. The Foles move being one of them, but I think that with so many people keep making these accusations against him, they're saying that in that locker room. The black people
right.
in that locker room are saying it among themselves. They just don't say anything about it until they're let go. Or you're going to hear a lot of them when Chip Kelly's gone.
And that's definitely problematic going forward.